This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know how many times I have to talk about this, but it's so important. If you're sitting there right now and you're stressed or you're anxious or you have a lot on your mind and you just bottle it up and you don't know what to do, it's going to come out, and it's not going to come out in great ways all the time. BetterHelp has helped me substantially. Ryan here has been using it for a while. And I, you know, don't you notice when you don't use BetterHelp? When you don't have therapy?
Oh, the weeks where I miss a session? Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, the more you talk about something, even if you don't think you have anything to talk about, things come up, and it puts your mind at ease. And we all carry around different stressors, you know, big and small. And at times, we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I think people think, oh, what if I don't like my therapist? If you don't, you switch them. It's that easy. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/inside today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Rocket Money. I love Rocket Money. You know why? Because everyone should have Rocket Money, because it just helps you save money. How many times do we have subscriptions that we don't even know we have anymore, and we're paying so much money? It's just throwing away money, Ryan.
I found one.
You did it. You told me. I got Rocket Money.
Okay, I found one. I'm embarrassed to say how long it's been going on, but thank you for finding it. My God. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's like you want to watch some show and you go, I have to subscribe to this this streaming whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start streaming the show, you watch it, you leave, and you forget after this trial period it kicks in, and it's they're charging terrible. You $10 a month. It is embarrassing. Ugh. You know, 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had, you know, like, oh, I have like 5 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for like 4 extra between, you know, streaming devices and fitness apps, delivery services. It's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. And I like that.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/inside. That's rocketmoney.com/inside. rocketmoney.com/inside. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, listen, I don't care if you like hockey or sports. This is a really great story. It's from a friend, dude. This is a story about, you know, me and this guy, Chris Pronger, NHL Hall of Famer, who had to retire from many concussions and injuries, known as a tough guy, was the league's most valuable player. He's going to hate me for this. Probably 99, I think it was.
It was 99, 2000 season, something like
2000.
That. Yeah.
But just look it up. Won the Norris Trophy. He's won the Stanley Cup with the Anaheim Ducks. An amazing career. And an amazing story. And, you know, he never gets too personal. And I think he answered a lot of the questions I've always wondered. And I think a lot of people have wondered. So we're going to get inside a hockey player today. I want to thank you all for listening as usual. The show is, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. We got a great guest coming up. And always tweet me, Instagram me, get people to keep subscribing, folks. You know, it helps. And that's why we love doing this for free. For you, right? We don't charge them, do we?
No,
Ryan?
We don't. No,
we don't charge totally anybody free. A damn dime.
I know.
So all I ask is, hey, if you like it, get more people to listen to it and subscribe.
How hard is it to say, hey, mom, can you give me your phone for a second? Why? What do you want with my phone? Oh, nothing. Boom, boom. Subscribe. There you go. Nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Is mom Southern?
I just threw that out there. Yeah. I guess it could have been. I'll also be at some conventions. I don't know when this is going to air, but I'll be in New Orleans, I think, in January, and then more to come. So check that out. And make sure you listen to In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan. We've got a lot of great guests coming up on that. And let's get inside of the legendary NHL Hall of Famer, my friend, Bubba, Chris Pronger.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
It was Mark Messier's Queen Charlotte Island. It was a charity fishing event. Do you remember who was there?
As in?
Celebrities? Players?
Like hockey players.
It was like all the Oilers. Messier was there.
Yeah, he brought a bunch of his. It was when he had left and was in Vancouver playing.
Mike Keenan.
Mike Keenan was there. He brought a lot of the Ranger guys that had won Cup. He brought a bunch of New York business guys with him.
But I remember being on a boat, and I got, what's it called when you're out?
Seasick?
Seasick, that's the word.
Is that what that is?
Yep, and I looked to my left.
What's the words?
The words are seasick, and Isaiah Thomas is sitting in their boat, and he's puking. I'm puking. Just a bunch. And I just remember and the rest of you guys are hammered out to sea, deep sea fishing. That was a great trip, though. That was a great trip. I remember a lot of great times. We were both young. You were
a little bit. I was a little bit younger.
Because I'm 2 years older than you. You're 45?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember
you. Is that your Hollywood age or is that?
No, that's my age. Do you notice that girls, guys, they always do that? You're married to beautiful Lauren. I was at the wedding. Didn't I play a song for you guys?
You did.
On the guitar? Was it appropriate?
Everything's appropriate.
Everything's appropriate with me, yeah.
You made a nice toast at the reception.
Yeah. And your dad, your mom and dad. Elia?
Ayla.
I always fucked that
up.
Big Jim.
You do always fuck that up. Why is that?
Because it's a weird name.
As someone who speaks for a living, you'd think you'd fucking figure it out.
Memorizes for a living. I don't memorize anything. I just always loved your parents too. Where do we meet though? Do you remember where we met?
We met in St. Louis. Remember you and Tom Arnold were doing that show and you came in and dropped a puck.
That's right. We came. I don't think I was the one that dropped the puck because I think Tom did. I've never.
You were just along for the ride.
I was along for the ride, but I met you. He didn't really know much about hockey.
No.
But I was like, holy shit, dude.
And that's when he was smoking cigars, if you recall.
Oh,
he smoked about 20 cigars one night.
Dude, and Tom, I love him, but he always needed a vice.
Yeah.
Every time he saw him, it was something else. Hey, buddy. I said, I quit smoking the fucking cigars. Now he's drinking 27 Diet Cokes on a fucking plane, a 40-minute flight to Seattle for a charity. Very charitable guy, but always has his things. God has to do. Hey, buddy. I'm like, God, how many pieces of Nicorette gum have you swallowed in the last hour? I think you might as well smoke. How much? Because isn't Nicorette gum, is it giving you the nicotine?
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's his one word. It's a fun.
That is the idea.
You see how Ryan just jumps in there with that? That's the idea.
Yeah.
But you know, we met at the in St. Louis, and you were young. Dude.
That was I wasn't playing. We sat up in the box.
Yeah,
I think it was a preseason game.
Was it a preseason?
I think
game?
It was. That's why I wasn't playing.
Yeah, well, you rarely miss games,
or maybe I was suspended. Actually, I might have been suspended.
I think you were suspended. I want to say you were suspended for that one game.
I think I was.
But suspended. Then a beautiful friendship spawned.
Yes.
You know, and that's where I met you, and I met that night. I remember meeting
Courtnell,
Jeff Courtnell. And I remember meeting, you know, there was Twister, and there was Jamal Myers, and there was Elvis, Jamie Rivers, and there were, who else was there? God, it was a whole, that was the St. Louis team, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Were you on the Blues more than any other team?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years. Was it the best of times for you there?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. There was a lot of good times, a lot of late nights. I remember one night, me and your boy Noodles,
Jamie McLennan,
were coming back from our favorite local hotspot across the river in Western Illinois called Pops.
Still there?
Open 24/7, still open. I haven't been there in God, I don't know how long. We were in rush hour traffic going the other way. Going home at 7 in the morning. I open the door to walk out and I look, I'm like, oh my God, it's light out.
My God. And they, for the players, they just love the players. They keep you guys there as long as you wanted, right? Oh, yeah, they weren't kicking you out.
No. Well, actually, no. I think the bar is open 24-7, so.
What bar is open 24-7?
Well, that one was.
Jeez, go to Illinois, yeah. Folks. But I met you, and we hit it off. We started laughing. I remember doing impressions, and you were doing stuff, and we just got a kick. I think we were both just young, immature guys looking to have fun. We're kids. I remember doing Urban Legend. You flew up to Toronto,
yep.
And everybody, like Josh Jackson, the actor, you know, Josh,
yep.
He was just starstruck. It's funny because when you meet other actors.
Of Mighty Ducks fame.
Yes, of Mighty Ducks fame. And then he went on to do other things like Dawson's Creek and what's some other stuff, Ryan?
Fringe.
You like the Fringe. I didn't watch Fringe, did you?
No.
You don't know the Fringe?
No, I don't know.
Like, apparently it was a big show.
Yeah.
But I remember him being like, normally, you know, if I met Jack Nicholson, I'd be like, oh, but with hockey players, Josh was just enamored. He's like, Pronger? I'm like, yeah. And when we became friends, you weren't like a big star. You weren't like a huge name in hockey. I mean, you were the number two draft pick, right?
Correct. And I'm trying to remember.
But you weren't like, you hadn't taken off.
No, no. I think that was the year that I was up for the Norris. I think that was 97. 96 or 97.
Yeah, because we were about to film, we were filming the Tom Show, which was ranked the worst TV show in history. It really was. It was ranked 133. In fact, I thought after you saw it, you wouldn't be returning my calls. Like I picked luckily the wrong actor me, to I hang out with.
Luckily for me, I didn't watch it.
You really didn't.
Why would I?
You didn't watch much.
I like what I like, and I don't think that was in my wheelhouse.
And that's why we became friends. It was doing Forrest Gump impressions. It was talking Slapshot, or it was talking stupid movies, Farley. That's the kind of mentality we were dealing with there. It was like, Mama, I got a farm, Mama. And I got you to come to Vegas to play in the Jerry Bruckheimer tournament. We had Bubba jerseys, which, look at
you
this.
Got it?
I'll post this.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Bubba Jr.
Love it. Love it.
Signed by, this is 99. It's signed by you, Bubba Sr., and I believe that might be Bubba Jr.
Is that Wolfie?
It could be.
Let's see.
Yeah, Scott Wolf. I don't know. But anyway, look at that. Isn't that crazy? And then I found all these other photos.
Uh-oh.
And this
me. Dusting these off?
Well, look at this. This is me, you and me, holding the cup in Anaheim.
Yes, yeah.
I'll post that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's, you know, I snuck on the ice. Huh. I was with a bunch of the guys, and we had press passes to the locker room, but that was it. And I went up to the guy at the ice, and some people went in, and I looked at the guy, I go, this is my brother. Are you really going to stop me here? And he looked at me for a long time, and I'm starting to get red, sweating. I'm like, dude, Ilya, Jim.
You fucked it up
Ayla,
again.
I'm kidding.
Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding. That was a joke.
I know.
Sean.
Yeah.
He's my other brother.
From another mother.
And the guy let me on the ice, and I just started taking, you know, pictures with you guys. And, yeah, we'll get to Anaheim. We'll get to Anaheim. In Anaheim.
In Anaheim.
But man, we had so much fun. I remember just in, and we're going to get to the you.
The nuts and bolts.
I've known you so long, and I've watched your career take off. You've seen mine take off. You've seen mine plummet. You know. But, you know, I'm doing a podcast now. I mean.
Laura goes, what is he doing now? I go, I don't know.
But you know what's funny is I will say this. I love this more than I think I've loved anything. And the reason why, and I think you sort of became a fan of this show. Well, I don't know if you listened to it, but you were like, I want to be on there.
Yeah.
Which means something. And
I had hurt feelings that you didn't invite me.
Well, you're in St. Louis and it was hard, but you're always invited. Open door.
Open door policy.
Open door policy.
All right.
But listen, for this show, I've talked about it before, but for me, the letters I get, the response from people like, I suffer from mental health, or I have anxiety, or I have depression, or I had this in my life. But hearing actors who always think everybody thinks they have the perfect life, or sports guys, you've been through ups and downs, man. You went, you know, you were this kid, you suspended, injuries, I mean, concussions.
Jail.
I mean, you've been around, and so it's like, you know, I was like, you know, now is the perfect time, actually, for you to come on. Because I think whether you're, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or an actor, or you work, you know, a regular
lawyer,
9-to-5 job, doctor, or something less important.
Yes.
You know, a podcaster.
Somebody who speaks on a microphone in a podcast.
You know, an engineer of a podcast. I mean, we could go down the hill here. I love Ryan. He's going to be a huge success. And the reason I'm, you know, working with him, because I know he's going to bring me along somewhere with him, you know? Ryan?
I mean, if you pay me.
I have to pay you to
bring
you
gotta start. You got to start at some point.
Oh, yeah.
This has been fun.
But, he gets paid. Don't, not much, but he gets paid. He gets paid. All right, so you're drafted number two. You're a guy that, like, first of all, go back to Dryden, Ontario.
Yes.
Take it back to Dryden. You got an older brother, Sean, who's playing. He's getting popular in the area from playing hockey. You're like, there's two of you?
Two of you.
There's just you two.
Yep.
And, I mean, did you? Your parents seemed like they were good folks, right?
Yep.
Did they kind of let you get away with murder? That's what I'm guessing.
Pretty much, yeah. My nickname growing up was Chaos.
That's it?
That's it. Every day, we either played road hockey, played hockey in the basement, played out on the outdoor rink, or we're practicing or playing down at the
every day.
Local rink.
Pretty what else much, is there to do?
Pretty much every day.
What else is there to
well,
do?
Well, in the summertime, then we would go swim and golf. Golfed a lot. Just kind of fucked around like stupid kids.
And did you always...
You know what? We were allowed to be kids back then. That's the beauty of it.
They just said, you don't have, you know...
I'd leave my house at 8 and I'd come home at 5 and God knows what I was doing.
But, and your parents never worried. He's going to take care of himself. His brother's watching him. He'll... Ah.
Where are you going to go? It's Little Dryden. Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's true. You know, might fall in an ice fishing hole or something.
No.
There was ice fishing there, right?
Oh, yeah. Great ice fishing.
You still go ice fishing there?
No.
Why not?
It's too cold.
You got too cold soft. For Dryden? You got all soft in your older days? Because you used to want to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I go snow machining, do all that fun stuff. It's great.
So but you're
I'm too soft now.
Too soft. Your parents, so they let you go. Now, Jim was a drinker, right?
Not really, no.
He wasn't? Because I always remember one story about your dad. The story of the olive oil.
That was his buddy. That was Don.
That wasn't him?
No, that was Don. Remember we were at dinner?
Go ahead.
All right, we're at dinner, local Italian joint in Clayton where I lived, and me and you were at dinner with my dad and his friend Don. And Don's crushed from, it's after a game, Don's crushed. And he keeps trying to grab his drink, but really it's a bottle of olive oil for the bread. And I keep pushing it away, go, Don, no. And he keeps grabbing it, and I push it away, go, Don, no. Finally, I move it over a different part of the table, and then me and you start talking, and I kind of forget about him. And sure enough, I look over, and he's chugging this olive oil. I'm like, oh, my God.
He's chugging a bottle.
What the fuck are you doing?
I never forgot. I obviously did forget. I thought it was your dad.
And by the way, that night, he got up at like 4 in the morning to take a shit and broke the toilet. And somehow figured out a way to turn the water off.
He broke the toilet from me. Oh, well, that makes sense.
I don't
sense.
Know if he like dropped down on it or leaned back too hard. The toilet fucking broke, and he had the wits about him to turn the water off at the bottom.
Did you and your dad ever get into any kind of altercations? Because I noticed, like, you're a hockey player. Sean's a hockey player. Dad's a big guy. He's like, you know, did you ever get into things where you're like, hey, because I know you. I know you have, you're a hothead sometimes, and you like things done your way, whether you're playing or whether you're a control freak. Like me, at times, you like things your way. Did it ever occur to you, like, you stepped over the line, you're like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not fucking doing that, Dad. I know that happened. I want you to tell me a story that you recall where you and Jimbo got into it.
He only got mad at me twice, like where he was pissed, where I was like, oh, fuck, I'm dead.
How old were you?
I was 14, maybe.
And what happened? How tall are you at 14?
I was 6'1", maybe 6'2".
So you thought, I'm cool.
I can't remember what I did, but he was pissed. And he came firing home and was like, fucking sat me down and was like, I don't ever want to fucking see you do that. First time he ever swore at me, too. And
really?
He was so mad.
Were you scared?
I was just like, holy shit, I'm fucking dead here. I got up and I stood around behind the couch so I could get out of the way. I was like, holy shit, he's pissed.
But never like a smack or a grab?
No, my mom was usually the disciplinarian.
She'd spank you.
She would spank me, and then she used to hit me with the wooden spoon. But when I was 8, I clinched the old butt cheek, and the spoon broke, and I turned around and started laughing at her, and that was the end of that.
I'm doing squats, bitch. Ain't gonna work no more with your feckin' spoon. No, I mean, but you're already like a strong kid. I mean, you grew so fast. Did you know you were going to do something? Did you know?
No, you know what? I always tell people, they don't, you know, I'm super small town, middle of nowhere. no internet, no friggin' nothing. You don't even know. Like, I used to get the Hockey Digest and the hockey news once a week. That's the only hockey information I had. We only got Hockey Night in Canada one night a week on Saturdays. There was no other hockey games on TV, so that's it. That's why we're outside. We're outside every day.
So that's why Canadians, hockey. More Canadians make it to the NHL than any other country.
Well, but that's changing. That I think Canada is like 45% of the league now.
What is it, Slovakia or some shit?
No, the U.S. is, I think, 25%. It's skewing more. Yeah, it's shifting. The tides are shifting.
The tides. So really, all you could do was go outside and play hockey and do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but you think about it. I mean, you're outside. You're being a kid. You're outside. You're screwing around with your friends. I think we had a close-knit group of friends whom you've met that we all lived, you know, well, you're not like you're living too far anywhere in town, but we all lived fairly close. We all congregated. Your parents knew where you were. They knew who you were with, you know, and they were friends with their parents.
Right.
So, you know, it was all... It was easy.
Yeah. Do you still
easy growing up? Easy.
Yeah.
But I never had any information on anybody that my age that played down in Toronto or played out in Vancouver or Calgary or any of the big Montreal, any of the big cities in Canada. I didn't know who they were. Right. I didn't know anybody. And then I went to a camp down in, I think it was Guelph, where
Guelph.
That's in Ontario. It's about an hour and a half from Toronto. And really just started to see these kids. I didn't know how good I was. I didn't know. You don't really know. You play in the local tournaments. You know, we farthest we'd go was Winnipeg. You play against some kids, but you don't really know.
But did anybody go, that Pronger kid, you know, the giant?
I was always, my age group, I was always the better kid, best kid on the team. You know, I played up a little bit. You know, I was one of the better kids. I think being tall... You have that allure or that aura of, oh, he's big. I was skin and bones, but I was tall.
Were you tough? Were you always tough?
I was mean. I liked...
altercations. You're like...
No, I mean, I fought a little bit, but I didn't... I fought when I needed to, but I didn't fight all the time. I didn't... You know, I was playing so much that it's tiring.
And nobody wanted...
Wrestling around like
wrestling
that.
Wrestling around.
That's tiring.
Did anybody, like when you were younger, did people even did pick fights with you? They'd go, I'm going to take the big guy down.
Yeah, sometimes.
Did you ever get taken down?
You got to pick your battles. I didn't...
You know that a smart player will always pick his battles.
One of the things that I know the best, I know who's on the ice at all times. I know who's coming on the ice. I know who's leaving the ice. I know... matchups. I know
who's behind you, who's around you.
I know everything. I know everything that's going on.
Is that something that was just natural to you, or did you really have to learn that? Because that's multitasking in many different ways, right?
I mean, it's sense, it's awareness. You know, some of it's hockey sense, some of it's awareness and knowing what's going on around you, street smarts, all that shit plays into it, I think. But I think just always knowing and understanding your role, understanding your matchup, understanding what you have to do to be successful, what you got to do to win. I just wanted to win.
Right.
You know, and there's some hurt feelings at times.
Were you?
But I just want to win. Like,
were you a crier when you were a kid? It seems to me like you're like there's those kids that are so full of anger and so full of emotion that if something didn't happen, you go, fuck, and you start crying.
Not.
At a young age.
I would fly off the handle. I don't know if I cried a ton.
You break your stick, you throw shit.
Oh, yeah, I got, oh, fuck, yeah.
Well, I remember playing hockey with you. I think it was you and Jack, your little Jack.
Yeah.
We have the same birthday. You and Al McGinnis and myself.
Yeah.
Al McGinnis, one of the best slap shots ever in hockey, if you want to look him up.
Google him.
But I remember we were just taking some soft shots on goal. He was playing goalie, and if you let a fucking goal, and he go, and you look at me and go, don't fucking score on him.
Yeah, don't score on him or that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, and he's a big one now too, huh?
Yeah, he's 6'7".
He's 6'7", Jack?
Yeah.
And he's obviously, where was he playing?
He's playing basketball.
He just said no to hockey.
He was playing and then...
He was good.
He was all right. And then he just, you know what, he kept growing and, you know, it's awkward.
And he's playing high school hockey?
Nope. He's not playing hockey at all. None of them.
I'm sorry, basketball.
Yeah, he's playing high school basketball. So is George. And George is 6'2 now.
George was a little turd.
He's 6'2
And what's
now.
Ella doing?
He might. Who, Lila?
Lila. Fuck.
You're fucking up every name, aren't you?
It's hard with all these names. Yeah.
She's probably 5 feet, doing her art and tennis, and she's the easiest of the bunch. She's an old soul.
It's nice to get to, we're going to get to all the dirt and stuff, because, you know, you talk about growing up, shit, there's so much dirt. Now, dirt, when I say dirt, it's just like, you know, people, like, I wrote some shit down. Like, I know you, so to speak. You know, I don't know exactly how to pronounce your mom's fucking name.
So but, we're tight.
So we're tight. Well, you know, it's been years, because we really hung out a long time, a lot. And then
you got famous.
No, no, no. Well, yeah, Smallville hit. That's not true, but I was in Vancouver 10 months a year for 7 years.
Yeah, well.
But then you got married, obviously, and you had a family, and you started playing, and things, you started changing the teams you were playing for. You're playing from the
Blues. I wasn't necessarily
the Blues to the Oilers to the Anaheim Ducks to the Flyers. Some would say to the Coyotes, but you really didn't. I mean, that was that's sort of true. I mean, we both went our separate ways, but I was always like, man, I do miss those times, the Prongs. I do miss those, you know, times with, you know, McLennan was the coach, Joel McLennan.
No, Joel Quenneville.
Quenneville. What did I say?
Jamie McLennan. You are having a tough goal right now. We'll edit that out, huh?
Hang on. Let's start again. Joel Quenneville, right? Yeah. Quenneville is your coach.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Most people that are listening to this, look... If they're not a hockey fan, they're probably like, oh, McLennan is.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach. And I love Quenneville. I remember Quenneville seeing me come to some of your games on the road or whatever, and he'd see me show up to the, like, you know, we go back to the hotel because we're going to go out. He'd look at me and go, hey, this is on you. Like, you're in charge of him.
Don't take the big guy down.
I'm like, nobody's in charge of him. I remember going in Toronto when you came up for Urban Legend. We went to a bar. And some guy was just trying to be a hothead. Yep. Some guy was just trying to go, oh, there's Chris Pronger, NHL star. He's a tough guy. He's like, yeah, fuck you. And you're like, yeah, bud, come on. Let's not do this. You were trying to do the right thing, but then you had another, you know, couple of drinks, and you're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you. Let's go outside. And I'm like, no, 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 we're not going to do this.
That was, you know, you got to remember, I was 20.
You're 26 years old.
No, I was like 23, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're younger than me. So yeah. you're a kid. What I'm saying is you're a kid at the time, but this guy started with you. Did you have a lot of that where guys would just start shit with you?
You know what? Not a ton. I think as we age, you figure out life, you figure things out. I think a lot of times early on, like once I turned pro, 18, 19, 20, 21, it was a little awkward where people, they want to say something, and it always comes out bad.
Always.
And I don't like people staring at me, so they're staring at you. They don't know what to say. So then you're like, what the fuck's your problem? You know, like, they're kind of, I don't know, starstruck, whatever.
So you don't even know that they're just starstruck.
You don't know. You think they're just being dicks. Staring at you, like, kind of awkwardly, and you're like, what the fuck is your problem? When you're young, you don't realize.
You did a lot of that.
Yeah. And
and it didn't end well.
No, I never got in any fights.
You never got in fights?
Nope.
Did you always hang around other guys that would fight?
No, I'd never been the only, and it wasn't even a fight. The only time anything like that ever happened.
The
alleged brawl in Buffalo.
So it wasn't a brawl? Because you got suspended.
No, I didn't get suspended.
You didn't?
They couldn't because it was like mid to late March. Boston and Buffalo were fighting it out for a playoff spot. There was 9 of us in the bar. And they
who was it? Twister?
No. This is when I was in Hartford.
But there was 9 of you.
Yeah. We spent the night in jail.
And you didn't hit one person?
No. Nobody on our side touched a soul. I was actually being the peacemaker.
What?
Well, there was freaking 6 bouncers coming at us. And we're like, hey, relax.
Well, they're coming at you. They didn't swing punch. They throw punches?
They're stepping forward. We'd step back. They step forward. We step back. We're like, hey, we'll leave.
Wanted to fight you.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
No.
A little?
No, because then the guy kept pushing. I'm like, all right, listen. Stop. Please stop. We'll leave. And then he started chirping more. And you're like, all right, finally, you're like, okay, fuck it. Let's go then. And then the cops came busting in. So they had called the cops. Cops come busting in. There was no punches thrown on our side. We were getting maced. We're getting our... You know,
they maced you.
Yeah, the cops.
You got maced.
I couldn't figure out. I was trying to figure out. I'm like, man, why is my ear so sore? Because they started and
it burns.
I turned and my whole ear was raw. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with my ear? And then I remember, I'm like, oh shit, I got maced. What? Another player got, he got cuffed and then they maced him. Like, it was a total disgrace.
And this was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Do you hate Buffalo to this day for that?
I do.
You just got a bad taste in your
mouth. Every time I'm there, I break out in hives.
That's a fucking lie. But
No, I just.
You don't like
it? I'm in and out. If I got to be there, I'm there in my room. I'm not going out. I'm done.
You know what would be fun? Why don't you and I take a trip to that bar back in Buffalo and step in, see what's happened after all these years? Hey, is that motherfucker?
You know what the funniest, well, it's funny now, but then we're in the bar. The bar is right across the street from the police station. They put us in police cars and fucking drove us around the fucking city. Laughing and chirping us. I mean, it was, I go,
wow.
I didn't even know the cop shop was across the street. I went back there and later I'm like, holy, what the?
Well, didn't they get reprimanded? Did anyone ever write an article about the police in Buffalo?
No.
But that's pretty fucked up. They wanted to get a rise out of you guys.
Yeah. And
they wanted to be a mockery.
We didn't take the bait.
But you still got maced. You still got arrested.
Yeah.
Does it still piss you off to this day?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah. And then, so one of the bouncers kicked a guy and broke his toe. So who do you think got sued?
And you had to pay it?
No, fuck no. It was like 2 or 3 years later. All of a sudden you get served with a lawsuit. I'm like, lawsuit for what? Pain and suffering. Guy broke his toe, cheap-shotting a guy when he was on the ground. And we're going to give him money. No.
Did you have to pay for your drinks?
No.
Oh, good. Fuck him. Fuck him. And I know you probably had a lot. So then you were traded from Hartford. Obviously, everybody knows the story for Shanahan, right?
Yep.
You get traded to the Blues.
Yep.
And that's when the real... And I remember reading articles along the way, like Keenan was like, oh, he's impatient, he's immature. I mean, you're young. You're 24, 25.
No,
you
I was are. 20.
20.
When I got traded there, I was 20.
I mean, I don't know how you do it. If you look back, it's just like, yeah, of course.
Well, you know what? The funny part and the stupid part as kids and then growing up and adult and understanding a lot more, you just wish what you know now, you could have known then.
But why? Then you don't have those memories.
A
lot of stupid memories.
And if you don't make those mistakes.
You know, they always say, you know,
what makes you, Michael?
What?
It's what makes you. Your mistakes.
It's what makes you. Ryan?
It helps mold you.
Yeah.
You don't look like you do much stupid shit in your life.
No. I keep a good,
You have a good head on your shoulders.
Yeah. It's screwed on pretty tight.
Yeah.
It looks like it.
He is. He's mature.
And let me tell you, it hurts.
It does. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Spielberg said, I've quoted this, he's the most immature person there is. Believe it or not, Steven Spielberg says he's the most immature, but he's incredibly responsible. And those two things, it's okay if you're responsible. Yep. If you're immature and irresponsible, you're fucked. You are fucked. Right?
It's absolutely.
Because Sean had a successful career. He went to the NHL. He wrote a book. Great guy. Smart guy. Good hockey player. Was there any brother jealousy issues ever growing up? Whatever, like he was big brother, and then all of a sudden you became the MVP Norris Trophy winner?
No, I think when you look at, and you ask me about growing up in Dryden, he left. When I got to high school, he left to go play junior hockey in Thunder Bay. So we didn't even go to high school together.
Were you bummed?
A little bit, I think, you know, where you want to have that experience. But, you know, there was the friendly brotherly rivalry,
right?
You know, where you're competing, as a younger brother, you're always trying to, you know, I truly believe that was a big part of my success, was always playing against bigger, stronger kids, older kids, right? You know, you got to keep up.
That scene in Youngblood where he goes out there and the older brother teaches him how to fight.
Yeah.
Did that ever happen with you and Sean?
No.
Is that, you think that there's any truth to that scene? Stupid! Stupid question! Remember Farley? He would interview. Right? I mean, was there ever a moment where you're like, I got to learn how to fight? Did someone teach you how to fight? Did you take boxing lessons?
No.
I mean, you just knew how to throw a punch.
Well, I think you...
You knew to tuck your thumb around the fist.
I'm a very visual learner. You learn real quick how to play defense, or at least I did. I don't know too many guys that like getting punched in the face.
No.
So there are some that do, but...
Do you at all?
Like getting punched in the face?
Do you like punching people in the face?
It felt pretty good back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. What's one fight that you remember just in the NHL that you punch someone and boy, did that feel fucking good.
I fought Todd Simpson in Calgary one night. This is 96. It might have been my big year. I'm trying to think where he was cocking off. And
what was he saying?
I don't know. Just acting tough. And we were in a big scrum. And I don't necessarily think he thought I was going to fight. So there was two fights going on. I was one of them. There was another one going on. And I was like, all right, well then let's go. He was acting tough. And I'm like, okay, let's go then. And boom, gloves came off. I'm like, I'm not gonna wait for him. So then I dropped my gloves. He's like, oh my God, you suckered me. I go, I did not. I go, you wanted a fight. I said, let's go then.
Was it one punch?
No. It was a good fight. I hit him with a good left that kind of buckled him. I think it kind of surprised him. Because he tried to switch, and then I switch and hit him first with my left. And he's like, oh,
now,
Rero.
Do you think that, you know, a lot of times players in the NHL, especially, people don't understand this, but like, I hate hockey. The fight, it's so stupid. I'm like, you don't understand. You have to be a part of it. Imagine being as intense and competitive as you possibly can, and the hits and this and that, and something happens and you can change the outcome of a game by getting the crowd into it, and you get into this fight, and then afterwards, even though it seems like these two people hate each other, isn't it true that hockey players can go to a bar and go, hey, what's up?
You know, I think when fighting is about emotion and the mental and physical aggression that trying to win at all costs, and you know, your anger gets better of you, and you're like, all right, fuck it, let's go. You know, those are the ones where you just can see the passion between the two guys, and you're like, okay, I get it. The stage fighting, I was never a big fan of it. You know, it didn't really serve too much of a purpose. You know, and then there, obviously, you get the guys that need to come out and be like, hey, settle down. The big boys come out and go, settle down. And you're like, okay. And you can just feel the temperature just, okay. Things are calming down just a teensy bit. But, you know, you two guys battling in front of the net or in the corner, and you know, all of a sudden you hit the guy either too hard, or you punch him in the back of the head, or, you know, whatever, you stick him in the groin, slash him behind the knee,
you got to wear the double cup of prongers.
Whatever. Something happens, and, you know, then it's, you know, it's all about the emotion and aggression of that particular moment.
Well, some people would say, hey, Pronger's one of the dirtiest players that ever lived.
Listen, I wanted to win. That's it. So if people have a problem with it, my teammates didn't have a problem with it.
Of course they didn't.
So, you know, it's again, you're one of those guys where you people love to hate you, but they want you on their team.
Yeah.
So I'm good with it.
Chippy.
Yay, Chippy, yes.
Did your coaches ever say, Prongs, I need you in this game?
Well,
keep the stick down.
Well, and that goes back to fighting and some of the, you know, stuff. I'm like, yes, the coaches would be like, hey, we need you on the ice, you know, starts get chippy and like, hey, don't get into a fight or don't do this. There are moments where they try to curtail your aggression, you know, depending upon the game and situations, etc. But for the most part, no, you play how you play and you just got to kind of live with it.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like I lost the game for us tonight?
No.
I got that penalty.
No.
With 3 minutes left, we had the chance. I got the penalty.
No, because you know what? You're gonna. There are gonna be moments where you take those, but if we're winning the game or a tie like that, I'm not necessarily looking for something like that. You know, trying to catch a guy coming across the middle, or I'm not trying to take a guy out in the corner too hard.
If you do something, it's an accident. Trying to save somebody from scoring a breakaway goal.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, but I would leave a game if I thought I didn't play good, I'd be pissed off at myself. And, you know, I think as I aged, I learned to leave the game and that game at the rink. But early on in my career, man, there'd be games that would last a week where I'd be like, fuck, I didn't play very good. And I've already played three more games since then.
What that is that's a little anxiety. You had anxiety.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, how did you deal? Did you, I guess, drinking, right? I guess you'd go after a game and you want to get a drink.
You know what? I really didn't drink a ton during the season. You know, you'd get the 3 days in between games, and obviously there's a flashing green light after that last game. You got 3 days off, so you're going to have time to recover. You're going to go have a good time.
Right.
But I really, I picked my spots, and I really didn't drink a ton during the season.
Did you, or were you intimidated of any? Was there one player or a couple players in the league when you played them, you're like, fuck. Like, intimidated in a sense that
they're too good, or they're too big,
or they're gonna get around me every once in a while.
No, I didn't. I think you go into those situations with the awareness of how good they are, and with the idea of pre-scouting. You know, back again, this is before the ridiculous amount of video that these guys do now.
You were just watching tape.
I'm watching tape, or I'm watching highlights and seeing the different moves that they have, so that, hey, okay. Oh, I just saw him make this. So when he cuts this way, he's going to try this move. You're just banking all this stuff up in the old Rolodex up top. And, you know, should you get into that situation, you have an idea of the different moves that they can make or try on you. And usually you're going to be able to stop them. But there was moments where you're like, holy fuck, this guy's pretty good.
Who was... players that you just thought, wow, these guys are great. These are great. They're hard to play against. I don't look forward to playing against them. Or maybe you did.
Yeah, I like playing against. I mean, that's where you kind of test yourself.
It's like playing with the bigger guys when you're younger, right?
You want to test yourself. You're only going to get better playing against the best players.
But who are they to you? Who are the players were the best?
No, they were at the time. You know, you look at the Russian Five. I think it's the Red Army or the Russian, one of those movies that they just made. I think it's the Red Army one. I'm in there just getting worked over.
Really?
Tic-tac-toe. I'm like, fuck.
Why do you pick that clip?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about the game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, fuck. I remember that. That was brutal.
I mean, so those guys, especially, I remember when the Blues could never get past Detroit.
Yeah.
I remember going to those games. I remember... with no time left, McGinnis for the Blues fires that slap shot, I think from half ice, and it goes in and ties the game. And you guys just got so close with those fucking Red Wings, but you couldn't get them, right? How frustrating was that?
It was a thorn in my side. Those losses, especially when you see them to go on and win, it grinds on you. You're always getting the questions. What's wrong with you guys? Why can't you beat them? Why can't you do this? Why can't you, you know, everybody's always second guessing. Everybody's a fucking armchair quarterback. Fuck.
That's so true.
Oh my God. Because it's so fucking easy. It's so easy to win. It's so easy to win.
Why don't you just do that? Yeah. Oh, really? Why don't you learn how to fucking skate? I'm doing what you do on skates, on a thin blade, on ice, speeds of over 40 miles an hour. You fuck. It's an incredibly hard sport,
yeah,
and intense, and you're playing at high speeds, the best athletes in the world, and you're going down to the wire. And what sucks probably for you is, like, you knew that if the Blues would have won those games or won that series, they probably would have won the Stanley Cup 100%. Or had a good chance.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's what hurts the most.
Yeah, and we had some really good teams. The losses eat me up more than the wins.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I mean, there's nothing better than winning. I just hate losing more than I love winning.
It hurts more to lose than it does feeling great to win.
Yeah. That's my mindset. And other people, you know, they can slough off the losses. It's easy for them. And just for me, it was never easy.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
How grateful are you? Are you able to be grateful? Has it taken time to take a step back? I once read something. There was an article in Sports Illustrated or something about you a couple years ago or whatever, and how you went through such a hard time because, you know, you had the concussions and you had the eye injury. You went through fucking hell with the eye thing. I mean, hell. I know how bad you wanted to get back. I know how, you know, how hard you fought to get back. But, you know, you had a limitation.
Yeah.
There's something that, you know, just was, this is life.
Yep.
And when, how hard was it to finally accept that? Did you have to go through therapy? Did you have to, like, where you say, hey, I'm fucking, like, I remember you're hurting your family inadvertently? Were you a pain in the ass to be around? Were you miserable?
The first year, when I first got hurt, I remember, like, 3 or 4 days into being hurt, I was sat in my room in the dark for 9 days. And, you know, I'd try to get up, take a leak in the middle of the night. I'm falling into walls. I'm all over the place.
Well, why?
Just, like, my head. I couldn't.
Concussion.
Yeah, I just couldn't catch my bearings.
How scary is that?
Well, at the time, you're not, you're probably a little bit out of it, but you're also just trying to get back. So I just always used to push, you know, my knees are, well, don't worry about it. You know, oh, my head's are, well, just don't worry about it. You know, you just try to push this stuff aside.
Ice down after the game, you'll be fine.
Yeah, throw a little ice on it, whatever. Rub some ointment on it.
It'll be fine.
It'll be good.
You're fine.
You know, and I just always had that old school mindset of mind over matter. Just fucking don't worry about it. It's not, it'll go away, or, you know, it always has gone away before. It'll go away. You know, I get my bell rung a few times. It always went away. You know, it just, this one just kind of stuck there and hung around and hung around. And
what year was this?
2011. Yeah.
It just wouldn't go away.
Well, I was getting nauseous and driving my car. I had to drive my car at night with shades on because the lights coming at me bothered the living hell out of me. So I'm driving around my car, my shades.
So you can't even think of playing in a fucking
and
arena.
I used to go over the bridge over to the game rink and, you know, I used to get so freaking nauseous. Just the.
You can remember it now. Oh, I could see you feeling it.
Awful. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just starting to get sick to your stomach, and then your head gets all fucked up, and you're like, oh, and then you're showing up at the rink, you're like, I'm going home, fuck this. You know, like, ultimately, when I went to see the doctor, and they're like, oh, you're done.
He said that?
Yeah. He's like, how the fuck are you playing? Because I was playing, so I came back, and I played 5 games, and then I was off. Well, I mean, I just wasn't myself.
Nauseous on the ice?
I was a little nauseous on the bench, you know, my eyes were, the bright lights were bothering me, I had a headache, you know, all the symptoms, but again, I was just like, fuck it, it'll go away, and I was actually getting worse, not better, and it was bothering me more and more. Finally, I told the trainer, I go, something's wrong, I gotta fucking see the doctor.
So the doctor...
I see the doctor, and she's like, wow, we gotta send you to Pittsburgh and go see the concussion guy. And I get there and I see him and he's looking at my file and, you know, you fill out the forms. How many concussions have you had? I'm like, I don't fucking know. 100. When you think about it, when you're a kid, you banging your head on the wall. Well, that's, you know, when you're seeing stars, you start trying to understand what is a concussion? What is the medical term? And what is the medical diagnosis of what is a concussion? There's so many different, right. I'm seeing stars, you know, think about back to,
I blacked out.
I'm seeing stars. I got a stinger. I got a, you know, I got hit one night in LA here. Friggin' two bright lights. You would never know it was an innocuous hit. Just hit me in the jaw, kind of coming across.
Really quick?
It was quick. We both fell.
And then you were fine?
I was right beside our bench. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, oh, my God. As soon as I opened my eyes, fucking two bright lights coming out. Thank God I was right beside our bench. I just stepped onto the bench. Sat down, I called the trainer, I go, ooh, dude, I got two bright lights. You know, this is like mid-90s. Then he's like, oh, okay, well, can you play? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I sat back in the rocking chair and just kind of used my peripheral vision and looked, kind of lifted my head up so that the bright lights weren't straight ahead where everybody was. I just kind of lifted my head up.
Jesus. And you weren't scared at all. Well, something like that happened to me, I'm out.
But you don't know any fucking better.
Yeah, that's what you've been doing.
And it's, I play hockey. It's what I do. And, you know, I think it was in the playoffs. So you're just playing. You're not really paying attention to a lot of that stuff.
I mean, that's terrifying. Like, I'm hearing this and like, but when you went to that doctor for the first time, or not the first time.
Oh, yeah. So to get back to that, he looks at my file and he looks at, kind of looking at me, checking me out. And he comes back. He's like, how are you playing? You just played? I go, yeah, I played 5 games. He's like, what the hell were you doing? You should not be playing. I go, huh? Okay. I mean, ever. I'm like, what? He's like, you can't play anymore. You're done.
Just like that.
Well, because you looked at sink? Well, you're kind of like, well, you know, we'll see. You know, you're like, ah, we'll see.
Was there part of you that goes, my God, I think he's right. What if he is?
Well, when you never really go through your whole file. You're not going through all your. At this point, I've had 13 surgeries.
On your eye?
No, 13 surgeries on my body.
Oh, your knee.
My body, my back, my knee, my wrist, my hand, all the different things, my foot, all the different stuff. And you're like, okay, you're looking at that, and your fucking file's like this thick. And you're like, maybe this time. I don't know. Can my body really take this pounding? Can it really?
And do you want to?
Now your head's all fucked up and you're like, my eye was fucked up. My head was fucked up. Where is it going to end? You know, and now Lauren's like, what are you thinking about here? I'm like, I don't know. And then the doctor, it's almost like he did me a favor. It's like, you're done. And then, you know what? And then Ed Snyder, the owner of the Flyers, his son-in-law is a doctor. So he shows him the file and the son-in-law's like, how's this guy playing? He's like, this guy can't play. He had the same diagnosis. He's like, Jesus. Oh my God, this guy can't play anymore.
And Ed, the owner, is probably thinking.
Awesome. No, he was awesome.
He wasn't saying shit. He's got 4 more years.
No, he was awesome. He was the best.
Health is wealth, my friend.
He was the best. He was like, then you're done. You're done. You know?
Did you get emotional? Do you think you ever, have you still yet, has it hit you even? Like, look, I know you. You're the kind of guy that, look, I don't cry in front of people. I mean, maybe a little bit.
only at your movie premieres.
Yes.
Well,
afterwards. When like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Why did you have to deal with it? But let me ask you something. I know you, Prongs. You're a tough guy, and I got a little surprise for you here in a second. But the guys that know you, the guys that have seen you, You're tough as nails. You're giving. I remember just going to the All-Star, the NHL All-Star game with you. Afterwards, you got jerseys for everybody signed by everybody. You got me the Team Canada jersey signed. You threw it to me. You threw it to your dad. You threw it to your friends. You got them all signed. You went in there. You're a giving guy. You're always there. You're funny. You're impatient as fuck.
But, stubborn.
But stubborn as fuck. Yeah, the most stubborn. But I've just never seen you. You know, and maybe you do this behind closed doors. I just can't even with Lauren. It's probably hard. You're just a tough. You've grown up to be tough. You're 6'6". You're like, you know, when Quint is talking about the shark and Jaws, he's like, he's an eating machine. He's a fucking, you know, his eyes roll over black. He's had lifeless eyes like a doll's eyes, you know. That's what I'm fucking thinking. And I'm looking at you. Is there ever a moment where the superhuman Prongs just goes, I don't know. For me, it's like watching a Rocky scene from the movie Rocky in my basement alone. And just like the tears start coming and I get the emotions out. Or is there ever an emotional moment where you cried to Lauren or you cried and said, I need to let this out?
Yeah. No, you know what? I never felt sorry for myself. I had a long career. I did everything that I could. You know, at the same, Sidney Crosby was going through the same thing at the same time. And you try to compare. And at the time, you're like, he was 24 or whatever he was. And you're like, at that age, you're like, that's a lot to be given up. Yeah. You know, because people were talking about, well, maybe you should retire. Maybe I'm like, oh, that's time's up.
Just like that.
It is, you know, there are moments where you're sitting at home and you're watching the game and you're like, fuck, if I was there, that wouldn't happen. Or if I was there, we would have won that game. Or, you know,
do you ever look back though and like you'll watch a clip from Anaheim when you're holding the cup up and brings tears of joy to your eyes?
you know what? More relief. Relief that you're finally able to win it. You know, because every player, like think about Ray Bourque at 40. Every player.
That's what they want to win.
They're all, but,
it's the Holy Grail.
But the whole world gauges you on, well, how many cups has he won? Well, not everybody has a chance to play with the Red Wings in the 90s or play with the friggin' Blackhawks. Or like,
it's rare.
It's rare. So you get guys, oh my God, he's a five-time, or play with the Oilers in the 80s. Like, holy fuck.
How many did they win? Six?
Five.
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 They should have won six. Remember them one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was more a sense of relief that, oh, that's one I can knock off the list where you're like, because it's so fucking hard to win.
Yeah.
So much has to go right. You got it. There's a little bit of luck, you know, the injury bug and all the different things that kind of play into it. Your goalie's got to be hot. You got to get timely score. I mean, there's just so many pieces to the puzzle.
Are goalies really crazy? Would you say every goalie you've played with, they got to be a little crazy, yeah, right?
Well, you have to be.
Grant Fuhr was crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Who the fuck wants to stand in front of him? You know, it's so funny. You're like, I would never want to be a goalie, but yet I'll stand in front of a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot to block it. But I'm not putting on those fucking pads. And
that's right.
It's just, I find it amusingly odd that I'm okay with that, but I don't want to go in there with all that shit on.
Well, let's go to that. You, was I at that game? No, I don't think I was at that game. I was at one of those games in that series. It was with Detroit where the heart stopped. You got hit in the chest with a puck.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody, and by the way, my listeners, most of them, they're not, I wouldn't say
doctors?
Hockey fans.
Are they doctors?
They might be doctors.
Okay. Do you know what it's called? The medical term for what happened to me is called commotio cordis.
Commotio cordis.
Commotio cordis. It happens a lot to Little League baseball players where the guy's standing at third or the pitcher and they get hit with a line drive and it hits them right in the heart. And what happens is their heart stops. My heart, so I blocked a slap shot. It hit me right on the heart. My heart skipped one beat. One.
One.
And that's all it took.
You just collapsed.
That's how much oxygen and how much shit happens in your body with one heartbeat.
In a split second,
I got hit
down.
I got hit and I'm like, fuck, that hurt. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, I go down, cover the puck, and I'm like, do not let these fucking people see you on the ground. So in my head, I'm like, okay, get the fuck up and get to the bench. And I kind of stumble up and black out. And in the video, you can see me stand up and I start going towards the bench and then boom. Thank God I had my hands in front of me or I would have did the Kevin Stevens and face planted and broke my face. But I kind of crumbled down on the side and hit my ear a little bit. Another ear one where I woke up and I'm like, fuck, my ear's sore.
Somebody maced me while I was on the fucking ice? Is that Todd Simpson? What the
So, and then I remember waking up and I'm looking up and I'm like, holy fuck. I'm in the middle of the rink. I'm looking up at all these Red Wings banners, and I'm like, and I looked,
this is a playoff game.
Yeah.
What game is this?
This is a game two. And then I look down, and my jersey's cut open. My shoulder pads are ripped apart, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I look over in our bench. I'm looking. Holly's crying on the bench, and everybody's like, the whole
Brett Hall. Brett Hall.
Yeah, the whole place is like silent. You could hear a pin drop, and I'm just like, what the hell? And then I'm not married at the time. My parents are at the game. Oh, would Mrs. Pronger, would Chris's wife please come down to the Zamboni entrance? Because they had the ambulance there for me. And I'm listening. I'm like, huh? I'm not married. It's my parents.
That's all you can remember.
How old of this am I? I got married already?
I mean, I was at that wedding. It was soon after. I mean, you could have died like that, right?
So most kids, when they get hit, they die. Because their heart's not formed long enough, they're not strong enough, they die. I just happen to, I don't know.
You got so lucky.
A lot of people. But again, to go back to, you know, talking about playing hurt, whatever, I'm fucking dumb. I'm 22 or 23 at the time. I'm dumb. I don't know anything. I go into the hospital. They put a heart monitor on me. They watch my heart for 24 hours. They watch my heart for 24 hours. I fly home. I'm in my freaking suit and my dress shoes, get on a treadmill with the heart specialist in St. Louis. I get on this treadmill and I start walking and she's monitoring my heart and she goes, yeah, okay, you're good. So I played that night.
The next night, it was two nights later.
Well, yeah, I was in the hospital, skipped one day and then played that next night.
And here's Chris Pronger. Just two nights ago, a stunned audience here in Detroit as a 97-mile-an-hour slapshot hit him in the chest, and he collapsed to the ground. His heart skipped a beat, and folks, when that happens, it's called...
commotio cordis.
And boy, was that a frightening moment. Dude, so you've been through hell, and with the eye thing, the concussions, because the eye thing's a separate thing.
Yeah.
I remember going to see you after a game. I remember... I'm not going to say this guy because he's an owner of one of the, he's now the GM of, don't say his name, GM of one of the NHL teams.
Yes.
But he was like the joker in one of the locker rooms in one of the teams you played. And he used to take, in the showers, he'd take a bar of soap and he'd swipe one of the guy's butt cheeks and go, oh, my ATM's not working. The ATM card. They're like, get the fuck off me. I remember being in there and just, it was just chaos. People laughing and joking. It seems like today more people are, players are more serious. Cause I'm friends with, some of the guys. I don't really go to a ton of hockey games, but, I remember, for instance, the Blues going in the locker room after, like, yeah, bud, come fucking down. No one gives a shit. Come down there, and it's like Rudy Pocheck, and it's fucking the old guys. And
Dimitra,
God bless him, man. That was a fucking horrible story. Yeah. He was a tremendous player. He's from, was it Russia or Slovakia?
Slovakia.
One of the best players in the Blues, right? He was a scorer.
Yep.
And he just, he was playing in overseas, and his plane crashed, and he died, like, what, 5 years ago? Just a travesty. But back
9 years ago.
Oh, man. But I just remember the locker room just filled with joy and fun and life. And, you know, I guess that's probably hard. You're always like had ice all over your body. I'm not kidding. It was so uncomfortable. You had like, Ryan, I'm not talking just like an ice pack, like us pussies, like wear on our neck. Oh, my neck. You know, I've had some surgeries. These guys were like, they have these cold things. What are they called? The cold, dips.
The cold tubs.
They just sit in there for like 15, 20 minutes on ice. They have ice wrapped around each body part. Every game. Did you hate that?
You get used to it.
It was routine.
It's maintenance, yeah.
And I had to do it.
I put ice bags on both my knees every day.
Even when you're not playing?
No, well, practice every day. I heat them up every day and I cool them down every day.
Did you ever... you like Quenneville, right?
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
Great coach. Went on to win with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
By the way, how happy were you? Of course. I remember talking to you. But when the Blues finally won it. I mean, yeah, I know you wish you were on the ice then, but you...
It's great for the city.
Great
52
for the
years.
City,
52
right?
years.
52 years.
Yeah.
That was an emotional day, huh?
Yeah, it was it was just great to see a lot of longtime fans, a lot of great people.
Well, you live there still.
Yeah. A lot of great people come through the organization, know that... that are still a part of it, and I think just to see it's a baseball city. It's obviously the Rams left, just the emotion, and you know what, to see the city show as well as it did after winning, nobody burned anything, nobody fucking trashed anything, everybody just got drunk. That's it. They just had a great time.
Right. Hey, we played in this the alum. You just got inducted to the Hall of Fame a couple years ago. 3 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. You're inducted into the Hall of Fame. Congrats, my friend.
Thank you.
Fucking brilliant. We played it was an all-star game. It was a Legends game before the all-star game. It was me, you, and a bunch. I was so honored to be able to play. And this is like Dennis.
Oh, that was a top 100.
Top 100 Hall of Famers that you were. Yes. And I got to play in that.
Yes.
And,
You were okay. You were okay.
Yeah, it was all right. But you know, it's funny as Bieber was in the locker room with me and he's like, hey man, you're in Smallville. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, yeah. How is that girl? Kristen Krug? Yeah, Lana? Yeah, she was really pretty. And I was like, yeah, she was. I got to kiss her. He's like, oh, yeah, cool, man. Yeah. So let me ask you, I want the right, real answer.
Okay.
Before you played, were you like, fucking Justin Bieber, the fucking little twerp. I don't like this fucking kid. Or were you like indifferent or didn't care? And then afterwards, you had a little more respect for him. What was it?
No, I didn't really care one way or the other. I was just having fun, and he was out there trying to score goals. So we were like, fuck that. He's not scoring here. He really wanted to score badly.
And by the way, the fucker never passed.
No, because he wanted to score so bad.
I got so pissed. All the guys on the bench, I was playing with like the best. What's his name from the Oilers?
McDavid.
McDavid's like, Jesus. And he's the nicest guy. He doesn't say a fucking word. He's like, man, I haven't seen that guy pass a puck once. But it was great. Gretzky was coaching us. Lemieux's coaching your team. I mean, it was a treat. That was a lot.
That's the last time I had a pair of skates on.
Was it painful for you?
No.
Did you have any kind of pain or?
No, it was fun. Because I, you know what? The only reason I played was 3 weeks before that, I played the Alumni Winter Classic in St. Louis.
But now you're done?
Done what? Playing?
Are you done playing?
I haven't put my shit on since.
Would you do this? Be honest. If I booked the ice next time you come in town, just me and you and maybe a goalie, just go out there and pass around and shoot?
Not a fucking chance.
Why?
Because I don't skate. It hurts my knees.
Like bad?
Yeah. They're bone on bone, and the angle with the skates, it's
can you fix that?
Yeah, I can get new knees.
Why don't you get new knees and then we'll play? Then I'll book this.
Then I'll be able to skate with you. Let me go endure that so I can skate
with
you. All
right, listen, I got a little surprise for you. I asked a couple of the guys, it was last minute, but I had a couple of guys call.
Hey, Rosie, it's Jammer here, Jamal Mares. You're calling about prongs. I hear you're going to interview the big bitch on your podcast. I do have a couple things you should bring up. I'll go quickly. One is I was his roommate for 5 years, and he was always at the head of the curve of stuff. So he started drinking these protein shakes and just had the worst ass in the world. Would absolutely destroy the room. Clearly his body was
light
not processing the protein well. And I was the unfortunate person that had to sit in that room. Next thing is ask him about his special MVP season. Not only did he win the league MVP, the Hart Trophy, but he won the Norris. Not sure if anyone's ever done that. Maybe Bobby Orr. With a special year, he controlled games from the back end. You know, I hate giving him a compliment, but he was unbelievable that year. I'll ask him about when I showed him about his Amex points. He had no idea that you could buy things with Amex points. I was so proud. I had 120,000 Amex points, which is $1 per point. He looked up his account. We made him an account, and he had 1.8 million points. Could have bought himself a house with Amex points. I was a little jealous, but it was pretty funny. And then I also thought it was pretty funny that Prongs was, as you know, really mean on the ice. And I always found it funny on the ice with him when he would make grown-ass, tough hockey players show fear and apologize to him, and he would respond with the fact that he is not afraid to take a suspension. He loved that line. He would tell guys all the time, I'll take a suspension on you. And he's a fun guy to be around. A lot of people realize, you know, think that he's so serious all the time, but he liked to joke around, and very few guys love the game as much as him. So I learned a lot about being a leader from him. But you can rip on him about those couple things. Hope you're well, buddy. Have a good time. Later.
I mean, obviously, these guys have a lot of love and respect for you. You probably don't talk to a lot of these guys much anymore.
Yeah, I see them once in a while. I catch up. You know what it is? When you got friends, it's like me and you. You pick up where you left off.
Is it true?
You don't. If you're really good friends with somebody, you don't have to talk to them every day. You catch up when you can catch up, and You pick
a little
up
text
right,
here, a little
you
call
pick
here.
Up right where you left
it's
off.
It's the people who get really like, you know, some, I have some family members or some friends who are just like, oh, you don't call me back? Oh, you don't do this? Yeah. And it gets like, it's like, hey,
very
you
sensitive.
Know, it's not because I don't
very
love you.
Very sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People get sensitive.
Yeah. So I only felt bad. So to Jammer's point, I only felt bad for half a second once. We were playing LA. Remember Big Steve McKenna?
Oh, yeah.
It's like 6'9" or
big,
whatever
big
it was.
Guy.
Yeah. And he was trying to run around and be an idiot.
He was more of a fighter, right?
Yeah. And he's trying to run me, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And to his point, I'm like, stop fucking coming near me, or I will fucking stick you right in the eye. And he looked at me. I go, I'm not fucking kidding. And so the play goes on. We change, and he's kind of looking at me. All of a sudden, he's back. I don't know why he was on the ice when I was out there, but whatever. He was on the ice. And I went, the puck went near him, I don't know how, and I went to lift his stick, and I missed, and I fucking hit him right on the eyebrow, almost took his eye out, and for like a half a second, I was like, oh, and then I was like, I fucking told you, I fucking told you I was going to get you.
What did he do?
He was like, holy fuck.
This guy's fucking mad.
For like half a second, I caught myself, I was almost like, oh, sorry, and then I was like, yeah, no, fuck you.
Hey, look, I could talk to you for fucking ever. This is already awesome. But I want to finish with this. You're a family guy now. You're a dad of three.
Yes, sir.
You've been a husband for, I'm going to say 21 years.
It is almost 19.
19 years. Yes. Okay, you're married in...
01.
01. I thought it was earlier. What do you do? How do you do things differently than your parents did, where they let you just kind of... It's a different world.
It's a different world, different country, different everything.
Right. So what do you do?
How
hard is it to be a dad? How lenient on are you on them? Do you make sure they understand how to be grateful? Do you ever talk to them?
We talk about that stuff, being grateful and appreciative for what we have, for what we're able to provide them. I think for us, I mean, we're very hands-on parents. While I might be out here right now, but we're around a lot.
Do you say, Jack, I love you, buddy. I love you.
Yeah.
Do you say I love you to your kids?
Yeah.
Is it easier to say it to the girl because you're a tough guy, so the daddy's girl?
No.
Hey.
No, I tell all of them.
You do. Yeah, I love you.
Do. Yeah.
You say, hey, I love you, little fuck. Do you have to add something to it?
No, I can say it. You know, every night, you know, when I put him, we put him
to
bed. You
say to Lauren, I love you. Do you give her a kiss good night?
Yeah. Sometimes. When she's not sick.
You're the kind of guy that when you get any kind of affection, I think like me, I'm not the most affectionate guy in the world.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's hard. It's because it's hard for me, and I try, but I have to be really comfortable, and I have to, I don't know, I just don't feel comfortable for some reason. Maybe because I saw the dysfunction with my family my whole life. Yeah. So I don't want to do this. So when it does happen, it's probably a really nice thing. You know, Lauren's probably like, oh, Chris did that, and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. Oh, I guess that's good for the next 3 years. Is that sort of how it is?
No, I think you try to. Where I have a problem is when I'm told to do it.
Yeah, nobody wants it.
No. Well, then I'm like,
more affectionate.
No, when she tells me, you have to do this, I'm like, I don't have to do fucking anything. You can't tell me to do it. Now you ruined it. I was going to do it.
Were you going to do it? See, here's the thing.
I was going to do it.
That's the thing. If you were like putting it in the calendar, be nice to Lauren and the kids on April 4th, that's different. Because she doesn't know if you're going to ever do it. She's like, hey, you know. But you know,
note to self.
Well, it does go a long way. I'll tell you what. Little things go a long way. Like, I have a difficult time talking to my mother. I love her, but I don't like her. I don't. She knows it. But you know, sometimes I called her on her birthday. And I talked to her for a good 20 minutes, and I gave her undivided attention. I didn't veer off and look at the TV and sports. And I said, you know what? I'm going to talk to my mother on her birthday, and I'm going to ask her how it was, and let her talk. And no matter how annoyed I get, I'm going to stay with it.
Yeah.
And at the end, I said, all right, well, Mom, I got a couple meetings, and I really enjoyed talking to you, and I want you to know I want you to have a happy birthday, and I love you. And that was it. And it was for her.
Yeah.
And also felt good.
Yeah.
It felt good. So I'm just saying, I'm not telling you what to do. But if you can just every once in a while, it does help. A little act of kindness, act of gratitude.
Yes.
Those things fucking go a long way.
They do.
Do you ever say it to your parents?
Once in a while. Yeah.
They're getting old now.
Yeah. Well, I know. When they can hear me.
Are they both deaf now?
Are they?
Well, they were deaf when I knew them.
My dad is pretty well, and my mom is deaf in one ear.
Your dad's completely deaf.
Pretty much.
Does he know sign language?
No, he reads lips, and he can hear kind of, but he's going to get the cochlear ear implants. And
it does work?
It's supposed to help. I don't know. We're going to find out.
That'd be nice, huh?
Yeah. So if that works, then he can hear again, but you make a joke, you got to say it four fucking times. It's no longer funny, and now you're annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just think about it for him.
Every time, you know, me and my brother were talking, I'm like, just think how mad we get, how painful it is for him. Knowing that you're getting pissed off that he can't fucking hear you.
Yeah. And you know what? This could be a job for the bartender.
Yeah.
For McLennan.
Yeah.
You have him come along with you. You tell a joke, and then you leave. McLennan stays there with your dad. He gets some drinks, and he tells him the joke for the next 5 minutes. That's what he does.
There you go.
Fuck. I always have an open door policy in St. Louis, right? I could always come and stay with you.
Yeah.
You still live in the same place?
I got a room for you.
You still have that golf game in the basement?
No, I got a new place.
Is it nicer?
It is.
And you're working for the Florida Panthers.
Yes, sir.
And what you're scouting?
Senior advisor to the GM. So I kind of do everything.
So if I ever want to go to a game, it's easy.
Yeah. Just call me.
But you have to pay for away games, right? Hockey players have to. Isn't that the weird thing?
Yeah.
Home games, you're all right.
Yeah, I don't know. People probably, and most people don't know this.
They don't know that. But if you go to a game and you ask your friend for a ticket, people go, hey, you know Lundqvist.
It's not baseball where they get umpteen million tickets.
Because they can't fill the stadiums.
Yeah.
Hockey arenas are tough. So when you ask me, hey, can you get me tickets to this hockey game? I'm like, the players actually have to pay for the away games.
Yeah. Or you're paying for it, or and they're even COD.
Always.
And oh, by the way, I've done this. I've left tickets. Somebody said, hey, can you leave me tickets? I go, yeah, they're going to be COD. They'll be left. When you don't pay for them, they're charging me.
Yeah.
They're setting them out of their allotment and right. taking them off the books. If you don't pick them up and pay for them, I'm getting charged for them.
Do you hear this, guys? Everybody out there, we just want you to know this. This is yes. really important.
And I've been fucked by a couple people for thousands of dollars because they didn't want to pay for their fucking tickets. You know who you are, fuckers.
You know who you are. This has been real. Did you learn a lot, Ryan?
I did.
Lots of swearing. I apologize.
You don't know. We could believe it.
My tender ears, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I don't know how these podcasts work. I didn't know how real you wanted me to be.
Dude, this has been great. I think you're one of the best hockey players I've ever lived. You're a great friend. Even though I don't see a lot, I always think about you.
When do you think about me? When you're on the throne up there?
Well, sometimes.
Should I tell people that this being the first time I've been invited to your house, I had to christen your toilet?
That's it. He walks in the house. I gave him a hug. 5 seconds, I got a pinch of loaf. He walks up to my bathroom, my master. It's gone. It's just destroyed.
The porcelain has been...
just destroyed. But you know what? I do think of you. Here's how I think of you. Right now, as I'm interviewing you, every day I look at Pronger. Your
yes.
jersey's always in
right
front of
there.
Me. Here's to many more good years for the both of us. Your Bubba, Chris Pronger, 44. That jersey was given to me in 98, probably. That's the MVP jersey, dude.
That was 2000.
And it's a real... Was it?
Yeah, 2000.
But that's a real jersey. That's like you
that's
off your
off
back.
My back.
There's
yeah.
markings of the
yep.
stick on it.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a good one, man. I really appreciate that. So I do think of you. I think of you fondly. I know you and Lauren have a little business together too. On the
we
side.
Do.
Talk about that for a second.
The company is called Well Inspired Travels. It is a luxury travel business. Something that I've been fortunate enough to do, and we've been fortunate enough to do as a family, is travel and go on these great trips. And now kids are a little bit older, you know, Lauren ultimately started it in the beginning and brought me on board. And I love to travel. I love seeing new places. I love how you feel when you're on vacation, you know, the happiness and joy that it can bring you. And, you know, coming from the injuries in different places that I've been, it kind of brings you back and re-energizes or revitalizes your mind and your body and spirit.
Well, dude, where can they find you on the Instagram?
I am at the Chris Pronger.
Just on Instagram now.
Yeah. And at Well Inspired Travels is our company.
And Lauren can be found on what Instagram?
That's
hers.
Well, that's ours.
That's yours.
We're together.
You're together. Well, check that out. Listen,
at wellinspiredtravels.com and at Well Inspired Travels.
Yeah, Instagram. It's interesting stuff on Instagram. So check that out, man. Chris Pronger, I love you, buddy. Thanks for letting me be inside of you.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.